How many of you ever stopped and think of the women in the Bible who were majorly used by God? Whoever stopped and think, when was the first Mother's Day? Probably when Eve gave birth to Cain. How many of you ever heard of Deborah? Who was Deborah? She led the armies. How many heard of a woman by the name of Jael? Jael? Anybody know what she did? She took a spike and a hammer and made somebody a headache. Made the king or the leader of the army. How many have ever heard of Esther? How many have ever heard of Ruth? How many have ever heard of Mary, the mother of Jesus? Well, that's an interesting lady. She could have been stoned. Mary Magdalene anointed Jesus' feet with oil. There's so many women used of God. And men? When I was raised, men didn't go to church. If it wouldn't have been for the ladies, the mothers, the women, churches would have died all over America. But the women kept pressing in. You know, in all the days that I was living at home, I've never saw this many men in a church service. Never. If we had four or five men in church, that was great. But the women kept pressing in. The women kept pressing in, interceding, praying. I want you to understand something. Some of you wouldn't be serving God now if it wasn't for your mothers. It's really true. And we don't casually take that into account. That is vital. The men failed to do what God commanded them of raising their kids and teaching them the word and doing the things. So in America, the mothers had to do it. Okay, man, you can look up now. You don't have to feel too guilty. This has been just a week of saying, okay, God, do I go this way? Do I go that way? Do I do this? Kirk never has that problem. But last night, before I went out and preached at the funeral, I came to church and just stayed here. And I want to take a few minutes, and I know you're going to say this is not a Mother's Day message, but we're going to tie it in to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I believe I've seen some of that on Angie's Facebook. But as I started just thinking on which direction to go, there's just so much here. We won't get through it all. Kirk can finish it next week. See, you got the second half of John 1. You can have my notes, but you won't be able to read them. In the beginning was the Word, in verse number 1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life is the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. kind of interesting as you look at this. And I had time this morning and a little bit last night just to kind of break some things down here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. How many of you are living a life, and you don't have to answer, that's really intimate with God? Really close. The word with in the Greek, and you'd say, Pastor, you're looking up the word with? The Word was with God. And I went back to Sparkling Gems and a few other things. The Greek word is pros, P-R-O-S. And it means being face to face, intimacy. That the Word, that the Son and the Father lived in such an intimate relationship, they were face to face. You say, well, isn't that interesting? But you know something? That's how God wants us. God doesn't want to look at our back as we're walking away from Him. God doesn't want to look at our back as we're heading back to the world that He brought us out of. God wants us in a relationship that is face to face. That was based on a relationship that's deep, that's intense, that's intimate, spending time with God. In the beginning, how many realize God didn't have a beginning? How many realize Jesus didn't have a beginning? He had a beginning with His earthly body, but they were there. And so God wants His creation, us, to be intimate with Him. The Bible says that all things were made by Him. Without Him, nothing was made. How many of you remember that He looked at His Son and the Holy Spirit, the Father did, and said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. And so God has placed in you, God has placed in you a desire to know God. To know Him, to have a relationship with Him. And as He was speaking with me during the service, that desire to know Him cannot be satisfied by anything else. And this is where we make mistakes. We think we can fill that void with something else. We think we can fill that void with just going out and being one of the boys or one of the gals. We think we can fill that void people do at the bar, or they think they can fill that void with meth or whatever. They think they can fill that void with sports or hunting or intellectually. It can't be filled. And your life is going to be miserable until you realize that the only one that can fill that void is Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Is that right, Leroy? I like to, don't break your neck shaking your head. I like that agreement. But it's true. It's true. Now the Bible says, and I'm hurrying. The Bible says that in Him was life, and the life shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In Him was light, was life, and the life was the light of the world. How many of you have made a choice? I'm going to let that life live in me. Nobody. I'm going to let that life live in me. I'm going to let that life become light in me. and I'm going to shine. I'm going to shine. I'm going to come to a place where it doesn't matter about how I feel, how people receive me, whatever they're going to say about me, I'm going to let my light shine. I had a decision to make last night. And I fought with it over for a while. You know, it's nice just to go to a funeral service and have people like you. But as I was sitting in the front, I knew I couldn't hide my light. I knew I had to have people make a choice. Because without it making a choice, they leave the same way as they come in. And so we preached pretty hard. But people responded. You see, people only have two choices where they're going to go. Don't think there's a third one. You're either going to know Jesus, live for Jesus, walk with Jesus, and go to heaven. Or you're not going to live for Jesus, you're going to do your own thing and live your own way and go to hell. There's two choices. And either you're going to walk in the light as He is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, or we're going to do our own thing. I know Christians come to a place, especially when someone dies, we want them to be in heaven so bad that we say, well, they're with the Lord. Really? If you're not a Christian before you die, you're not one after. Anybody say amen? Don't get conned. The biggest con in the church of Jesus Christ is that I can live for the devil my whole life, and when I die, some pastor's going to get me into heaven. It doesn't work. John wrote that the darkness did not comprehend the light. That's very interesting. I need to look up that word on my sheet. Forgive me, I wrote it down what it means. Bob, you can put this word on the screen. It's katalamburo in the Greek. You got that? What does that mean, Bob? Katalamburo. And it means this. It means to seize, to pull down, to conquer, or hold under one's power. I want you to get this today. The darkness of Satan cannot conquer, pull down, seize, or hold the light of Jesus Christ under its power. The light is always the most powerful force in the world, in the universe, in the atmosphere. The light of Jesus. Now here's the deal. If you're a believer, you have the light of Christ in you. Why then would we compromise with darkness? You have the light. You don't have to be afraid of darkness. You don't have to be concerned about falling. You don't have to be concerned about failing. You just need to stay in the light. Everything else will come together. The light can only overcome the darkness when you who are carrying the light submits to the darkness. And the darkness still doesn't overcome the light. The light just leaves. And so why, once knowing Jesus, would we desire to go back into that? Amen? Amen. Why would we think about going back to what God has saved us out of? And why would we compromise with Satan when the light is in control? The Bible tells us there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the man came to be a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Raise your right hand. You got a right hand? You sure? Here. I want people to see that you got one. There we go. Good job. Give him a hand. You can't do that. You got your right hand in the air. You let that out. Say, I am called by God to fulfill the ministry that God gave John the Baptist. I am preparing this world for the return of the Lord. I christen you all, you don't have to say that, John the Baptist Jr. Because we all have a purpose of letting people know that Christ is coming. Whether or not, when you're going to put that in, if you're pre, mid, post, mid, mid-trib, no-trib, whatever, doesn't make any difference. When we go up at the pre-trib, I'll tell you I told you so. But you and I are doing the same thing John the Baptist did. He prepared the way for Christ. Now think for a moment. If you have friends and your light isn't shining to them, how are they going to know? You're the light, but you put a bushel over yourself. So your light only shines on Sunday. And then if it's shining, it's pretty dim. And your friends are out there doing their thing, living their life on their way to hell, and we act like we don't care. I know you care, but we act like we don't. So the ministry of John the Baptist is cut off because really, we don't want to be embarrassed, or we don't want to offend our friends. How many of you love your friends? Really? Do you love them enough to stick your neck out? You love them enough to put your head on the block. And look at them someday, and you don't have to offend them. If they get offended, they'll come back. But speak truth. Speak truth. That's what John the Baptist did. You don't have to call them vipers and dead men's graves and all the other stuff. Just speak truth. Just speak truth. Verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Talking now again about Jesus. It's amazing that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the leaders, the chief priests, they all knew the Old Testament. They all knew it. And if they would have wanted to check on Jesus' identity, they would have realized he wasn't born in Nazareth, but he was born in Bethlehem, where the prophet said the Messiah was going to be born. When they said, well, can any prophet come out of Nazareth? They knew better. But they refused to believe. They had to know Micah, that he'd come riding, or Zechariah, whichever one it was, that he would come into town riding on a donkey. Maybe that's why they wanted to shut him up, because they knew in their own mind that this was what the prophet had prophesied, and they didn't want to have it happen in their territory. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave the authority, the right, the power, the divine ability to become the children of God. You're going to be leading people to Christ. I have no doubt about it. You're going to stop being a puck, 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 puck. And you're going to be men and women of faith, of power, of authority. And when you do, when you pray with someone, make sure you let them know and speak into their eyeballs and say, right now, you became a child of God. Don't let them leave wondering what happened. Let them know. I got a call a while back to go up and see Mick again up in Rosalind. I go up once or twice a week. After I led him to the Lord, this lady called and said, you know, Mick isn't sure. Mick isn't sure about where he's going when he dies. And you don't even have to bring that part up. I just went up and said, hey, Mick, I know you're dying. I know you're ready for heaven. I know you're ready for heaven. You have nothing to fear. You know, heaven's not a bad place. We just don't want to die to get there. Isn't that true? I'm waiting. Beam me up, Scotty. Get me out of here. But to you, he gave the privilege, the right, the divine ability, the power to be his son and daughter. Verse number 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. I love this verse. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And the Word became flesh. I want you to think of something. How many know John 3:16? Yes. Say it to me. Okay, you wait. Let them, these people finish now. Let me tell you something. And this is not a great revelation. It's just something that kind of tickled me. Forever, God loved people. But one day, God decided to send a message in flesh. It wasn't that he was just up there loving people. He decided to send a message to mankind that was in flesh and blood. He called him Jesus. And people, how many have ever heard, don't kill the messenger? People took the message of love that God sent to people in flesh and blood and bloodied it. and killed it, hung it on a tree, and buried him thinking it would be over. But it wasn't. It was just starting. The Bible says if the powers of this world would have known what was going to happen, they would have never crucified the Son of God. Crucifying Jesus was the dumbest thing that Satan ever did, because it sealed the doom of his kingdom. And so the word came in flesh. The message came in flesh. And he tabernacled among the people. He dwelt among the people. And we beheld his glory. They saw the miracles. They touched him. They handled him, as 1 John 1 says. They watched him raise the dead and heal the sick and open blind eyes and love the prostitute, interrupt funerals. And as he walked the earth, they knew that he was full of grace and truth. They saw his attributes, not just one attribute. And people followed him, which amazingly upset the religious leaders. I believe grace is God's empowering presence that enables you to be what he's called you to be and do what he's called you to do. We hear so much about grace, and grace gets all messed up. Because grace is not an entitlement to sin. It's an enablement to walk in the boldness and power and anointing of God. God has never, say this with me, God has never given me the freedom to sin. Jesus died for sin. Why would God want me to? So grace doesn't entitle you to sin. It empowers you to overcome it and walk in holiness and walk in freedom. You were bound by Satan. Why would God want us to go back there? Kirk gave me a, what do you call that?
Video.
Oh, video.
Moving pictures.
It's not one of those old radio things that, what do they call those? Kirk gave me a video. And the preacher was good. It was only 4 minutes. And he says, remember one thing, God has more attributes than just love. Think about that. Over 600 times, God mentions his wrath in the Bible. The last comes toward the end of Revelation. He's storing up the fullness of the winepress of his wrath. He does love. He is full of grace. He is full of mercy. He's also just and full of judgment. And that's coming. Live in his love and live in his grace, but don't forget the rest. Truth is very simple. The word truth means reality. Jesus was reality. How many remember Pilate? Well, what is truth? Jesus could have given him a good explanation. I wrote something down here. I just got to go back to it, and I'm done. Don't put your Bibles away yet, though. I might not be. Truth is reality. Jesus was truth incarnate. Jesus was truth in the flesh. The Spirit of truth is the one who declares and reveals truth. So here we go. I'm done. The Bible says if we walk in the light, we walk in the light of Jesus Christ, if we walk in that revelation, we walk in that knowledge, we have fellowship one with another, we have fellowship together, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You are the light. You are fulfilling a commission given to us by God in Matthew 28, go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. That's our task. And what a privilege, and what an awesome privilege to be used by God to get this done. I like what Kirk said. Make a list of five of your friends that aren't Christians that need Christ and begin praying for them. Begin praying for them. You know, you may come home and you're tired and you get in your lazy boy or lazy girl, and you make, waiting for supper or waiting for something to be done, mark down some names and begin to pray. God save, God reach, God minister, God get involved, God do it.